Hi, family. My name is Sletta, and I'm an addict. I want to take a minute to thank God for this opportunity and to thank all of y'all for being in my life. If I say something to hurt your feelings, call your sponsor. I'm not fixing to sugarcoat anything for y'all. I'm here to tell you what I'm responsible to do, and that's to tell you the truth. You know, after being here for a minute, once you have some knowledge of this program, you know, your responsibility is to pass the message to the addict who's still sick and suffering. This is not a place for your personal shit. This is a place for recovery. And if you got personal stuff going on, that's where your network comes into play, and that's where your sponsor comes into play, because everything is not for the rooms. I live in North Carolina now, but I originated out of New York City, Manhattan, the city that never sleeps. Yeah. Neither did I. I grew up in the projects. Okay, anybody know what project life is like? Always trying to fit in. Besides trying to fit in, I was a stepchild to a man who had about 8 kids already, you know. But married my moms and accepted me, and then there was another one after me. And, you know, I would like to think that I had a pretty normal childhood, you know, growing up, do the little drama queen thing and be in the plays and all that stuff. That's where I got to be free at, when I could go and do one of those plays, because, you know, I was looking to fit in and looking for love, you know, that love. And I never got that love till I came into the Narcotics Anonymous, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, y'all have gave me that unconditional love when I got here. But if you want to call it normal, growing up, childhood was okay, but going home was another type of atmosphere where my father beat my mother. And to me, it seemed like every day. But it was just on occasions that he would. But when you a kid and you're going through a traumatic situation, it seems like every day something is going on. You know, and I always look to escape. You know, I wanted to escape. I had these feelings of escape. You know, made it through high school, played basketball, graduated from Martin Luther King High School, and got in a first relationship. First relationship I ever got into was an abusive relationship, which I thought was normal. I thought it was okay for somebody to hit on me, okay, because I seen my moms go through it. Until the first person that hit me temporarily blinded me in my eye for 6 months. Broke the wall socket in my eye, and I went through a series of picking up using. Okay, I used the marijuana in the beginning, okay, which was back then was an acceptable drug, along with Bacardi and Coke, of course. Okay, go to the Rucker game, okay, and help push my girlfriend's baby carriages, because that was the thing, you know, we gonna all hang out, go to the Rucker game, and look for the guys, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I always wanted to fit in, okay? I wanted to belong to something, anything that allowed me to be who I was. And as I said, my first drug of choice was marijuana and drinking, you know. And then here we go. I get a little 17, 18 years old, come out of high school. Now I get to go to the clubs. I get to go hang on 145th Street and Lenox Avenue and 8th Avenue and go into bars and the clubs and hang out and go through the disco and disco fever. And we go into the Bronx and we go hang out and we go. Yeah, right. Got introduced to another drug, angel dust. And I had one bad experience from that. And I didn't gravitate to that drug. I left that drug alone. It was a real bad experience. By the grace of God, you know, I left that drug alone. But then I found cocaine. And cocaine was the acceptable thing because I could go on the bar stool and sit up with my drink and sit to the bar and sniff out of my dollar bill, you know. And then I got introduced to the drug dealers who thought I was pretty, okay, who paid me some attention, okay. Still that love, okay. So they thought I was this prize package and they would keep me up and put me in a place, apartment and all that. And I was a trophy woman, you know. Come out when you say I can come out, go where you say I can go and be back in at a certain time, you know. And that lasted for a while. Then I came back home at the age 21. I left home at 17 years old. The reason why I left home, because my father had took his final beat down on my mother and stabbed in the leg with a 007 and cut two arteries and two veins in my mother's leg, and I nearly lost her. And what happened was it caused our home to separate, okay, where my father was on the run and my mother went into a victim service home. I have to say right then is when I got introduced to crack cocaine. Back then it was Freebase. In the cute little bowls with the I Love You New York. Okay, with the alcohol and the cotton ball dipping type of thing. You know. And I'm not going to spend a long time on my story of using because I don't do that today. You know, but anyway, I took a spiral downhill in drugs for 18 years. Okay. My first son, be 24, I let my mother get him when he was 5 months old. And because, you know, back then, BCW wasn't the way it was when you came out with a positive kid. My mom was able to step in. And what it did was enable me to continue to use. And so I did. 12 years later, same scenario, pregnant again. Okay. This time, I'm about 75 pounds, bald-headed, and homeless. And my meal was something like one of those hero breads you with butter. Can of pork and beans and a quart of water. One of them quart of juices, you know. And we talk about degradation in this program. See, they got a pretty word in the book for it, degradation. I don't know about y'all, okay? But it only makes me think when I think about the degradation of the disease, I'm thinking about how I was on my knees for $3, okay? Because the drugs is real cheap in Manhattan. So let me tell you, washing my body had become non-existent. I was so small that I would put on long john sweatpants, two pair of jeans, and 90-degree weather and make y'all think I had it going on. At least I did. You know, the degradation was taking empty couches, covers, okay, and going up on top of an abandoned building and getting 10 cent candles and hoping that nobody never came in the abandoned building but me and be up on top in the elevator shaft. That's degradation to me. Degradation is me, my water breaking, and I'm still going to cop and leaving tracks in the cement as I walk. That's degradation to me. That's where my disease took me. My disease took me to two rapes. Okay. And do it all, I'd never stop using. I wasn't ready. So then I did a thing, well, I'm going to try the little, what, the 28-day programs? Didn't work. I've been using 18 years. 28 days couldn't fix me. I tried the six-month program. I couldn't take 18 years and put it in 6 months either. I used again. And when I got introduced to this program, you know, I got introduced to this program in 85. By the time I even recognized Narcotics Anonymous in my life, it was 97. Because I was beat. But I had to get help elsewhere. See, sometimes, you know, just to this addict, I had to have more help. Because when you mentally and you spiritually bankrupt, you already dead. See, I was already dead. Everything was gone. I was a shell. Okay? And I had to rebuild myself. I had to teach somebody how to somebody teach me how to wash, how to brush my teeth, how to comb my hair. All those things was gone. My every waking moment was to use people, use places, use things with whatever I had to do. My change was necessary. My change, okay, was the biggest challenge of my life, okay? You know, anytime you walk around and your wish is to die, see, my wish was never to get the next one. I wanted out, see? I wanted out. I didn't never want to use no more. I was so tired. And then I would try to stop y'all and couldn't stay stopped because I didn't know how. But when I got back in the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, let me tell you something. The old timers told me to sit down and shut up. The women in this program nurtured me. They told me, take off that mini skirt. What am I advertising? If you on your back out there, there's no point in you being on your back in here. You have just traded a rock for a Happy Meal. Just for today, I don't have to settle. See, I've been settling all my life. Time to grow up now. Time to change. Well, guess what? Change is painful. Okay? Change is painful. Okay, because if it was easy for us to change, then I wouldn't stay in fear so long. See, because when fear come up, I would automatically be able to swipe it to the side and keep it moving. I would be able to weave and bob every time fear came. I'd be, oh, you almost got me. But I know my disease is self-centered in fear because it don't want me to succeed. Okay? My fear would have me thinking that I couldn't get with the women in the room because I couldn't get with you in the street for the hit trick and vic that I was going to get. But when I came in the rooms, the women told me they would love me till I love myself. And so they taught me how to put on something below my knees. And they taught me how to cover up my little, I called them knots. Because that's what they was reduced to. Had to pick them up and put them in the bra. You know, I got a sponsor, okay, and the sponsor guided me. You know what? When I wasn't ready or I was doing something willing on self-will, she said, I'll be here when you get all the pain you need. Guess what? I wish you all the pain it takes, because when you're tired, you'll come up here, you'll sit down and shut the fuck up, because I didn't know nothing. I didn't know how to live. Then it came to being responsible. Oh, now I'm going to be a productive member of society. Huh? Hold what? A what? A job? All I ever knew was to hold a stem. But what happened is the women educated me. They told me I could go back to school. That education was power. I ain't never had no power. So I started going to all the computer classes and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that, you know? And I stayed for a minute to hear a clear message one day. Somebody got up on the podium one day at a convention and told my story. And I felt like I was home for the first time in my life. And I felt like I had fell in love with the one person that I needed to was me. See, I've been running from me my whole life. But when I fell in love with me, it was the greatest thing I ever did. Okay? Because then it allowed me to love you. See, then I had room for you then. Okay? by loving myself gave me room to love others. See, that's where the steps come in. The steps helped dissect me. Okay? The steps lined up a big giant mirror and showed me me. And then the traditions allowed me to incorporate y'all in my life on my level. With a God of my understanding in my life. Okay? Because it's a process, a real slow one. Okay? Recovery don't happen overnight. Okay? I still got areas, okay, that I work on a daily basis. Okay? You know, what I know about this program is that if I don't apply myself, see, even with being here a minute, I've been here, what's that, 4,425 days. I just recently celebrated 12 years in this fellowship. I am so grateful, okay? And then I got to have the one thing that I never had in here. I got to have daddy's love. I got to have my brother's love right in the rooms because the men started loving me unconditionally. Oh, I love that. I love when I get a hug from a man and he don't have an alternative motive, okay? Because just for today, I don't need a man to justify who I am today. Just for today, I get my own hair and nails done. Let me show you how to do you. That's where I'm at. Let me show you. You know, most, you know, you're supposed to let the man lead in a relationship, right? I'm letting him lead my whole life. Now I'm in control. Me and God. God is in control of my life. He tells me that I can have anything I want. The God of my understanding, who I chose, said I'm a kingdom child. He said, I'm rich. Though I don't always see it, but I believe. I believe I have crazy, just as crazy. You know what kind of faith I have? You remember going in the basement in the dark and sticking your hand in a hole and believing that you're going to get some quack back? That crazy faith I keep today. I just believe that I believe that I believe. That a day at a time I'm restored to sanity. Because on any given day, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know why? Because I got character defects. Okay? And I'm resistant to change. I don't want to do it. It's too big of a challenge. I get lazy. I get lazy and I cheat myself. I got time to run here. I got time to do this. And I'm the last knot on the totem pole. And then I want to give God, oh, help me, please, like when I first got in the program, or when, give me that one more, Lord, or can you help me stop, Lord? Oh, Lord, I got so much to do today, I ain't had time to even give him his. Selfish me. See, that's my disease. It's selfish and self-centered. All those things that kept me out there so long. You know, but today, you know, I'm grateful because, you know, I have peace of mind today. You know, I have peace of mind. And let me tell you something. That's worth more than anything I have. You know, I kept going back to school. I kept doing this. I kept doing that. I become a social worker in New York. Became a parent advocate to the same child care agency that had my son. They turned around and hired me. That's God. Then I did what they call a geographical change. I was born in North Carolina but raised in New York. Ask me why God put me back in North Carolina in a little town called Randaman that rolls up at 7 o'clock p.m. You're talking about change and challenge. The only thing that was left was Walmart. Because the whole town folded up, okay? The geographical change God did for me, okay, because I needed to come to North Carolina with my mother and my older son and be a mother to the first child before I could be one to the second. See, I knew where my priority stood. It was to put two brothers together that had 12 years apart, and then the challenge was to look at my 15-year-old and tell him, yes, baby, I chose crack over you. But for the first time, we had the level ground we needed to build a relationship on. Because ever since then, he don't call me mommy. He called me Saletta because he got to respect me. Because I earned it. See, there's some things in this process that you're going to get back. The only thing this program ever promised me was freedom from active addiction. And anything else I get was a plus. Was a plus. I am so grateful that I don't have to live my life like I used to live. Non-existent. See, I could say I existed. I was non-existent. You know? You know, my 12-year-old, I got a 12-year-old, and he's my pride and joy. He was my turnaround kid. He was the one that made me go ahead and get a foundation before I could be reintroduced to this program. I did 26 months of therapeutic treatment. I lived with 65 women. And then when we come in the rooms, we can't stand to look at each other. I'm like, oh, she this, she that. I don't even know you. I don't even know you, but I don't like you. You know why? Because you remind me of me. And then I'm going to be mad at you when you act out. Because I come in here with some stability, but I remember I came in here with my ass raggedy too. Now I'm mad at you because you ain't practicing spiritual principles. See, my grand sponsor had to beat me in the head and said, why are you angry, Saletta, at the newcomer? Because she doing what she doing. She was somebody's husband. She doing that. Maybe I'm mad because I can't do it no freaking more. See, I said recovery is a slow process. But the thing about it is I had to keep changing. Okay? It wasn't up to nobody else to change. It was up to me to change. Okay? Because I knew that change, okay, was my freedom. See? Because once I learned a little bit about me, I began to look in the mirror and guess what? I started liking myself. I started falling in love with me, and you know what? It was all good. I got into this program, got into them steps, okay? And they said a power greater than myself. I was like, I'm mad as hell at God right now. You know, I'm mad at him right now. He let my life fall all apart. Somebody introduced me to the pencil. Said, oh, wait a minute. I don't know the pencil got power. Did you know the pencil had power? So you could write down what you was going through and next week have the ability to flip it over and erase it because it was no longer there. You had done got past it. That was my how power when I first came back here was the pencil. It had the ability to do what I couldn't do myself. So I gravitated to writing my feelings down, writing stuff down, you know, writing, going that extra mile, doing some research, doing this and doing that. And what I found out is when you go the extra mile, what happens is you learn some stuff that you never thought that you was going to learn by pushing yourself. See, recovery is pushing past what you feel. Recovery is pushing past everything that's in your way. Your family, your kid. Look, I was the most important person they told me when I got here. The newcomer is the most important person. My primary purpose is to pass the message of hope. That's my job. Now that I know the truth. See, by not knowing the truth, I stay stuck in my character defects and I act out. And I become poison in this fellowship. Just for the day, I don't want to be poisoned. You know? I went back to school about 5 years ago. Today I'm a nurse. And I love what I do. Today, my oldest son has lived with me at 21. He lived with me and decided that, he wanted to be grown-er. So, you know, that age 21, I'm grown now. You can't tell me anything. So I let him go and kept the bearded dragon. The bearded dragon lives with me, and he doesn't. Okay, my 12-year-old, I don't miss a beat. I'm very active. He plays basketball. We go to church, Sunday school. We do our thing, you know, and life is good. You know, I'm in a relationship. Well, let me go on relationship for 1 minute. In recovery, I got about my 10th year and I bumped my head. I picked up a newcomer man. Yeah, I did. And it was going good because, see, I had gotten tired in my waiting room. I had gotten patient with God in my waiting room. So now I'm going to get what everybody else getting. I'm going to get me something. So I got him. I got him. And when we had our first argument, he called me a hoe. Okay. In a meeting in front of thousands of my network. And the only thing that I could do was sit there and pray. How am I going to be mad at this man who called me a hoe and he ain't got but 6 months clean? All he ever had was a hoe. Die, there go my thinking again. See, at any given time I can resort back. Today, as a result of that, that person's still clean. I'm still clean. You know, thank God. But let me tell you, I'm in a relationship for the first time in my life today. And it's a normal one. It feels like that first puppy love I had at 16 years old. You know where I have butterflies all the time? Okay? And I love it. I do. I love that feeling. I love that feeling where I'm always excited and shaking, you know? But I'm going to tell you something, you know, the women in this room also told me taught me to be a great catch. See, today I know I'm a great catch for a man. See, I'm just waiting on God to give me that one he said is mine.
That's right.
See? But I'm a great catch today. Okay? You know, as I close, perseverance will give you courage. And in courage, you will find hope. And with courage and hope, you can change. My question for y'all, are y'all ready for a challenge? Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much. And now we have Clarence to share about challenges and changes.
Good evening, family. My name is Clarence, and I'm an addict. I like to say that November the 17th, 1989, God showed me a way out. And their way out was through Narcotics Anonymous. Getting into challenges and changes, I'd like to start at a very delicate place for me. 2 days after I was out of treatment, I'm from Alexander, living in Alexander, been in Alexander for 40-some years. I ended up in a treatment center in Prattville, Alabama. There's very little in Prattville, Alabama. While I was there, I had a counselor named Sally. Sally was about 6'1". She had short blonde hair. She had retired from the Marine Corps. She had shoulders about wide as mine. And I knew Sally had one thing in life she wanted to do, and that was to kill me. And every morning, Sally used to meet me at the door, "Mr. Joyner, come here." And Sally would say stuff to me that if she'd have been on the streak, I'd have hit her with a baseball bat. Because Sally was a big, tough gal. I needed a bat for Sally. But one morning, Sally touched something in me. And I cried for 1 hour and 45 minutes. I'm talking crying. I'm talking snot, boogers, and tears. I'm talking about the kind of crying that you lay down, you're tired, you want to go to sleep. But from that day to this one, I haven't felt that bad since. I thank God this day that wherever Sally is today, her life is wonderful. because Sally worked with me long enough till she could burst the ego. And once she burst the ego, she could begin to help me. And I like to think, when I got home, 2 days out of treatment, one of my best buddies stopped by the house. He saw my car, which wasn't running by then anyway. He knocked on the door. I opened the door. He came in. He put a six-pack of beer on the table, took out a pack of cigarettes, and he shuffled three joints across the table. And I looked at him, and all of a sudden I heard a voice say, "I don't do that no more." And I'm here to tell you, share with y'all today, that if I was going to use it anybody, it would have been this guy. Today, I know I made a decision. That day, without knowing anything about the steps to go on with this program. Now, let's get serious. I'm also a dope fiend that was blessed to get here with his wife. When I got to this program, my wife and I had been together 20 years. I had a contract. You know, a marriage contract. Be truthful about it. We've been together now 39 years. She should have left me 38 years, 6 months ago. But by the grace of God, she stayed. She stayed. Third year into the program, the money getting good, I'm back to work, life is great. She comes home from a doctor's appointment and tells me she has breast cancer. I'm talking about challenge. Mess me up. But I had a sponsor, and I got to kind of shape this guy for you. My sponsor don't look nothing like me. Well, he's dead and gone there, God bless him. He's white, he's bald-headed, beard looked like St. Nick, and knew every doctor in Washington, D.C. and Maryland and hated them all. I went to him and I shared with him what was going on with me and my wife. And he told me to go back and tell your wife to go back and get a second opinion. And for you all to look for three doctors. And if one of the three happened to be a woman, use the woman. We found three doctors. The third one we found was Doc Wooler. At the time, she was the head cancer doctor at Columbia Hospital for Women. Portia had one visit to this doctor, and when she came home, she was free. I was still crazy as a dune bug. And it was the men and the women in this fellowship that began to shape me out of my fear. The challenge brought about a change, because after being contractually married for 20 years, I knew nothing about nurturing a woman that I had been sleeping with for 20 years. You can't go to school and learn how to nurture. And you won't go to sleep on Monday night and wake up Tuesday morning knowing how to nurture. My wife would go to work. She would come past Alexander Hospital, get her cancer treatment, laser treatment. She would come home, and she would be wiped out. And she would come, and she would sit beside me on the couch, and she would put her head on my shoulder, and that thing in me. Fellas, y'all know anything about that thing in you? That thing in me said, get up and go to the bathroom. And I would go to the bathroom, and when I came back, I would sit over here. And it got so bad, it bothered me. And I went and told an old man about it, and he said, "Boy, you're a dope fiend. You don't know nothing about nurturing nobody." He said, "Go home and practice holding your wife." I said, "Well, I've been married for 20 years. What you mean, practice? Go home and practice holding your wife." And I would go home, and I would hold her with one arm, and I hold a chair with the other. And I watch the clock. And when 5 minutes was up, challenge and change. I'm here to share with you all tonight. One night, we went to bed, and I reached over for her selfishly because I reached over to have sex. And she rolled over in my arms, and we talked all night long. That night, I fell in love with my wife all over again. That's been 17 years ago. My wife is breast cancer free. But I learn, or I change into a person that cares more about her than I do about me. I change to the guy that can get up in the morning, make a pot of coffee, sit at the kitchen table, and listen to her babble for 45 minutes. And when she get through, she get up and she said, "Ooh, thank you, baby." My name went from being mother. No, I ain't seen that mother, and I hope that mother don't come back here no time soon. Taboo, dinner ready. I'm still trying to get used to boo. Challenge took me into change. And I'm going to share this. I don't know how many new people here, but the third step, the decision, turning my life and my will over to the care of God, opens the door for challenges. You may not like it, but if you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to get some challenges. And they run from no job, lost house, lost apartment, lost mother, lost father, lost child. These challenges show up all kinds of ways. And the change for me will only take place once you pass the challenge. It's just a test. I used to hate when the old man told me that, "Boy, it's just a test. I don't like tests. Never have." Two years ago, I'm leaving my house, getting in my truck, going to get a haircut. As I stepped off my front porch to walk toward my car, I screamed out in pain and fell on the sidewalk. I went to patting my chest. I figured something had to happen up here. I found out later when I got to the hospital that the quad muscles in both knees had snapped at the same time. God does have a sense of humor there. I'm laying on the ground. I can wiggle my toes, but I can't move my legs. My wife came over. She bent over. She put her arms around my neck, and she said, "Baby, don't you go there." Because she saw in my eyes I was headed towards self-pity. All of a sudden, the rescue squad shows up. Out jump two of the prettiest little blonde ladies you ever seen in your life. They weigh about 95 pounds apiece. I'm 300 pounds. They're not going to get me up. Everybody went to laughing. All of a sudden, I'm laughing. My neighbors came over and helped me get on the gurney and get to the hospital. It's Thursday afternoon. I get to the hospital and my doctor shows up. This cat looked kind of slick, you know. He got on a nice sport coat, jeans, white sneaker shoes. Matter of fact, I tried to copy that little outfit from him. And I'm looking at him. He comes in, "Mr. Joyner, how you doing?" I said, "Boy, doc." "Well, it's Inspector." I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, Mr. Joyner, I'm blessed." I said, "Well, I must be blessed too, because I really didn't send for you, you know." Come to find out, the only doctor on duty graduated from Harvard University, third in his class. This is the doctor that God gives me. Six months later, he got me up walking, and he comes to me and tell me, he said, Mr. Joyner, I didn't know if you were going to ever walk again. Challenge. Change. The change for me today, I'm 62. I'll be 63 in June. I was 60 when my knees went out. Oh, by the way, I'm a very young 60. Change came. Not going on a diet, but changing my lifestyle. I ride an exercise bike, 35 minutes every day, 7 miles. All of a sudden, I'm beginning to see my toes again. My knees are getting stronger. I'm talking about a challenge that drove me into a change. If it had not been for this challenge, I'd be still going to Popeyes and parked outside of McDonald's and looking at the same exercise bike I've had for about 10 years. But today, I cannot wait to get on this exercise bike. Challenge that brings about a change. Whatever challenge you are dealing with today, don't be tempted to abort the ship. Hang in there. Hang in there. The picture will change. See, because I don't know about you all. Because when I abort the ship, I'm going back looking for what I lack. I fell in love with Haran. She was my everything. I chose over my wife. I chose over my son. I chose over my mother and father. I loved it. It put me at the bed at night, and it woke me up in the morning. I'd done that for 20 years. And one day I got the bright idea to smoke crack cocaine. Six months later, challenge, change. Lord, help me. And he put me here with the most wonderful people I've ever met. See, Grandma sent me to church. She had me baptized twice before I was 17. I'm a country boy from down south, and they like sprinkling water on you and shooing off the demons. Well, they shooed me a lot. Didn't work. This program has changed my life. That little boy today is 25. A couple Father's Day ago, he gave me a Father's Day card, and it read, I looked in the mirror today, and I saw my dad. Happy Father's Day, Dad, I love you. And I ran in the bathroom because I didn't want this big boy to see me cry. My mom is laying on her deathbed, and she reaches up, and she put her hands on both sides of my face, and she kissed me in the mouth. And she said, baby, I'm so proud of you. Challenges and changes. Embrace them. If you embrace them, the change will embrace you. I'm not telling you about my intellect. I'm telling you about my experience. My mother-in-law, God bless her soul, beautiful woman. I'm not one of these married guys that had mother-in-law problems. My mother-in-law knew how to talk to me. I would get dressed up and come downstairs, and she would go, girl, you better follow my daddy tonight. He's looking mighty good. And I just blush. I just fall apart. My mother-in-law knew what I'd say to me. My mother-in-law passed. After talking to both of us, and 2 hours later, we found out she passed. 4 weeks later, my mother passed. Challenge. I just got through helping my wife bury my mother-in-law. Now she got to help me bury my mother. She's with me today. I don't like to share in front of her because she's not a member of the program. But in a lot of ways, she is. Okay. You can't live with a dope fiend for 20 years and not be affected. You know? But she's out there doing what she like to do. She's trying to find every store in Ocean City and shop. So she's happy. But I couldn't tell her about Mama going to a better place. You know, sometimes I guess people mean well, but sometimes just hold each other and cry. Just cry. No words. Just hold each other and cry. And that's what happened to my wife and I. We cried. That's my boo. That's my buddy. That's the best thing ever happened to me. It's my wife. This program has given me the opportunity to be free and emerge like I've never been free before. This program has given me the opportunity to be free as a father like I have never been free before. Whatever challenge you're dealing with tonight, I'm going to share with you what's been shared with me. Take it to the seventh step. Deep within the seventh step. Deep. When it talks about asking God to remove my difficulties. I simply asked him to help me with temptation. And I ain't talking about the lady with the great figure. I mean, by the time you're 63, you know, there's some things beginning to change anyway. So that's not so much an issue. But sometimes if I go to the bank and I cash a $200 check and a young lady give me $250, I might be tempted to say, Lord, then bless me with $50. Or if you cut me off in the intersection, I may be tempted to call you some names. Being tempted can do one or two things. It can bring you to humility, which will bring back a positive change, or it will bring you to humiliation. The choice is ours. Today, I choose, with the help of God, because I can't do without his help, to practice humility. Tom used to tell me all the time, he said, Clarence, you know if you let the guy in, he didn't cut you off. I don't know about y'all, but for a dope fiend like me, that didn't make sense to me. I couldn't put that one together. Today I practice letting people in. And it's amazing. You let them in, and it takes the sword right out of your hand. You don't, you know, just. It's amazing what it does for you. You know, but he also told me, you the kind of guy that when you let him in, don't you look for him to do that. Challenges and changes. The challenge can become real simple, and they can come real hard. And it's up to each and every one of us to deal with it and to help each other deal with it. I want to thank y'all for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.